fruit is being arranged. We'll discuss a little from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Continue with Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sri Sanatana Goswami. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Gaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Gaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Bhali Sai Jiva Anari Bahir Mukha Ate Eva Maya Tare Deyasham Shara Dukha. Translation: forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy Maya gives all kinds of misery in material existence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the living entity forgets his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, he is immediately entrapped by the illusory energy. The living entity is originally part and parcel of Krishna and is therefore the superior energy of Krishna. He is endowed with inconceivable minute energy which works inconceivably within the body. However, the living entity, forgetting his spiritual position, is now situated in the material energy. The living entity is called the marginal energy because by nature he is spiritual, but by forgetfulness he is situated in the material energy. Thus he has the power to live either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. And for this reason he is called marginal energy. He is sometimes attracted by the eternal illusory energy when he stays in the marginal position. And this is the beginning of his material life. When he enters the material energy, he is subjected to the threefold time measurement, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future belong only to the material world. They do not exist in the spiritual world. The living entity is eternal, and he existed before the creation of this material world. Unfortunately, he has forgotten his relationship with Krishna. The living entity's forgetfulness is described herein as anadi, which indicates that it has existed since time immemorial. One should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, the living entity comes into material existence. Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Anadi Bahir Mukha Ata Eva Maya Tare
Daya Samsara Dukkha. Forgetting Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy Maya gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. Omar Gyantimidandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshuri Militam Janatasmai Sigudave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Shtapitam Janabhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Tadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare So in this verse, Lord Chaitanya begins his instructions on devotional service to Sanatan Goswami. Srila Prabhupada states that Lord Chaitanya himself left us only 8 verses of the Shikshastakam prayers. But he personally instructed, particularly, Sri Sanatana Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami in the principles of devotional service. And requested them to write books on the science of devotional service. So through these great souls and others like Jiva Goswami, we are understanding the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Particularly, Jiva Goswami is also known as a great scholar on the science of devotional service. So here we hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining to Sanatana Goswami about the nature of material existence. It is important to note that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is first beginning his teachings by explaining the nature of illusion. How the living entity is entangled in material life. Because unless one becomes unentangled in material life and free from illusion, he could not properly understand Krishna. As long as one is attracted by the illusory energy of the Lord, one cannot appreciate the real energy, the spiritual energy of the Lord. So understanding Krishna, first of all, begins by understanding Krishna's inferior nature. And becoming convinced that material life is illusion. In the sense that the pursuit for material happiness entangles the living entity and causes him to forget Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not begin his teachings by explaining the Lord's confidential pastimes in Vrindavan in the spiritual world. But first he analyzes the disease of the conditioned soul. And when we understand the disease and how to correct the disease, then and only then can we come to the healthy condition. So this is a very important point. He's beginning his teachings A, B, C. Not X, Y, Z, but A, B, C. He'll explain everything from the nature of the material world and gradually reveal the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, and Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Just like Prabhupada has explained that we begin our process in devotional service by studying Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs of spiritual life. And then when we're convinced about the material world, the living entity's entanglement in the material world,
mm-hmm.
the Lord's transcendental position beyond material existence, and the fact that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna, not this material world, then we can begin studying Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives us reference to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, and then postgraduate study of Srimad Bhagavatam is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Prabhupada is explaining in this purport the nature of the living entity. That there are three different energies. There's the material energy, the spiritual energy, and then there's the living entity. Sometimes we think material and spiritual. But there's actually a third energy, which is, in essence, spiritual. But because of its infinitesimal nature, it is called Tattvashta Shakti. It is spiritual, but because it is tiny in comparison to the Lord, this energy, the living entity, can be influenced either by the spiritual or by the material. Prabhupada has translated the Tattvashta Shakti as marginal energy. In between the material and in between the spiritual. In the sense that, according to the living entity's association, he's either in the liberated condition or he's in the conditioned state of life. The example has been given of a lizard. It's a particular lizard which you find in South America. It's called a chameleon lizard. This chameleon lizard, his skin turns color according to the surroundings that he lives in. I remember when we were young boys, we would, in the certain magazines, they were selling like lizards and snakes and spiders. And this is no longer legal, but in those days it was legal. So me and my brother used to send away for, we'd get certain kind of snakes which would come in the mail, much to the displeasure of my mother. Yeah, in the mail. Of course, they were not poisonous snakes, but they were different types of snakes. You could also get lizards. And certain types of insects. You could also send away and buy certain interesting insects from different jungles in the world. One time my brother ordered one, it was called a king snake. It's a black, white, black, white, black, white, a very big snake. And he was keeping it in one cage. And one day the glass cage, it broke and the snake escaped. And we couldn't find it anywhere. So about 1 week later, my mother had a tea party. A party serving tea. Jai, jai. So she had, I think, 7 or 8 of her close friends over for tea and prajalpa. So I remember she went to get the teapot, and she brought the teapot over because these garden snakes, they like these king snakes, they like very wet places. They sometimes swim in the water. So she got the tea in the pot and she went to pour it, but nothing was coming out.
Когда она взяла этот чайник и начала проливать, ничего оттуда не выливалось.
She was thinking maybe a tea bag, a bag of tea got stuck in the spout so the tea wasn't coming out. So in front of everyone, she opened up the top of the pot and a snake crawled out. Anyway, it doesn't have much to do with the philosophy, but it's interesting. So we would sometimes order these lizards, which were called chameleon, and we would have a lot of fun. We would put them on a green leaf, and the skin of the lizard would turn green. And then we would take the lizard and put him on a brown piece of wood, and his skin would turn brown. And even he could turn certain shades of red. According to his association by nature's arrangement, he could camouflage or hide himself in different places. Due to his association, he would turn different colors. So the living entity is in a similar situation. Although he is spiritual, he can be influenced by the spiritual energy, or if he comes in contact with the material energy, he becomes influenced by the three modes of material nature. For example, the mode of goodness is compared to a yellowish or white color. It is illuminating. The mode of passion is compared to a reddish color. And the mode of ignorance is characterized by black or dark blue. So the pure spirit soul, when he comes in contact with the material energy, comes in contact with the modes of material nature, his original pure consciousness is covered by these various modes. And thus you cannot appreciate the true beauty or the potency, the power of that soul. The more the soul is covered by material desire, by material consciousness, the more dull his consciousness is perceived. For example, we see in lower species of life that symptoms of consciousness are not very elevated. Whereas in higher forms of life, human beings or even higher Gandharvas or demigods, you see that the consciousness is more clear and more aware of God. So originally we are situated in this Tathashta Shakti situation. But the word used here is Bahir Mukha. Mukha means face and Bahir means to turn. So although we were situated with Krishna, we chose to turn our face from Krishna and come to material world. So that is by the arrangement of the Lord through his agency of Maya. When the living entity turns from the Lord places that living entity in the charge of Maya. The living entity is never independent. Prabhupada said he's either dependent upon Krishna or he's dependent upon the material energy. So just like when a person turns against the government puts him in charge of the superintendent of the prison to rectify that. So when we turn from Krishna, he places us in charge of the material energy. Under the charge of the material energy. Prabhupada said in this regard that Maya has two potencies. That she throws the living entity within the material world and she covers the living entity with illusion. It's quite amazing to think how the pure spirit soul, who is attracted to the superior energy, could one day become attracted to the material energy. Generally, the principle is that if something is inferior, you will accept something superior. But if you have something superior, you rarely accept something which is inferior. Let us say you have one fruit, a mango. And it's not, of course, it's not mango season here, but sometimes you see there's mango. So sometimes you see the mangoes, they become rotten. And they're not very attractive. They have a foul smell and they turn brown, and you give them to the cows. So someone brings you an old rotten mango and says, please exchange this for the mango that you have. Why you should do that? I have nice mango. I don't want your rotten mango. But let us say your mango is green, but someone brings a nice ripe mango. Ripe mangoes, like, they get reddish in color, yellow-red in color, and they're very sweet. They're especially delicious in the hot season, because they're cool and they're sweet. But if you eat too many sweet mangoes in the hot season, you get boils. Just some information next time you come to India. If you come in the hot season, don't eat too many mangoes. Anyway, someone brings you nice mango, then, oh, okay, I'll exchange my green mango, because what can you do with green mango? Only thing green mangoes are good for is making chutney. Achar. Achar means, you know, you take the green mango and you make like pickle out of it and put some spices and everything, then it's very nice to eat with your meal. But generally, if someone brings you ripe mango, oh, nice sweet mango, okay, we'll exchange. But if you see someone give this nice mango for one rotten mango, you wonder, why has he done that? How could he be so foolish as to do that? So Prabhupada said, and it was quoted in GBC Resolutions, 1995, that we were all once in the sport of Krishna. We were all once in the Leela of Krishna. So how is it that the living entity has given up that position and accepted, as Krishna says, this material energy, which is his inferior energy? Krishna says that this material energy is inferior to his superior energy. Prastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana. He explains there exists a world which is unlike this world. Whereas this world is manifested and unmanifested, that world is eternal. It is never subject to destruction. And Krishna further explains, he gives some basic understanding of the spiritual world in Bhagavad Gita. He said that place is self-illuminating. There's no need for moonlight or sunlight or electricity. Some little information is given of Vaikuntha in the Bhagavad Gita, whereas so much detailed information is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the inferior energy. It is tamas, or it is characterized by darkness. But for the sun, this entire creation, this universe, would simply be darkness. The sun is actually, the light of the sun is actually a reflection of the Brahman Jyoti. and all other light that we see within this material world is in of itself reflection of the sun. Even the beauty of the moon, the cool, soothing rays of the moon, that's also reflection from sun planet. And what we burn, or the fuel that we take in this world, is actually concentrated sunshine. The tree is burned, but the tree has absorbed the light of the sun. And coal is also considered essentially the heat of the sun. So anything that produces light in this world essentially comes from the sun. If it were not for that sun planet, which is sometimes described as the eye of Krishna, Chanakya Pandit said there's no light like the light of the eyes. So the sun is compared to the eye of Krishna. There is the deity of the sun, Vidishwan. Narayan is situated within the sun. By his potency, the sun is producing the light. But you take away that one globe of the sun, which is infinitesimal and compared to the size of the universe, everything else is darkness. If there was no sun, it would be total blackness 24 hours a day. It is also compared to darkness, this world, because it is also ignorance. Ignorance is also a form of darkness. Because here in this material world, from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, every living entity, to a greater or to a lesser degree, greater means Indragopa, and lesser means Brahma, but everyone is, to a greater or lesser degree, ignorant of God, ignorant of Krishna. So it is darkness, or it is ignorance. So it is simply amazing that the living entity can choose the ignorance. And at the same time think that he's well situated. This is the point that Srila Prabhupada is making in his purport. But the living entity is attracted to the illusory energy, while at the same time the illusory energy is giving him so many problems. In other words, that the price for enjoying this material world is that one has to suffer. For a small amount of enjoyment, the living entity has to work so hard. And for one grain of enjoyment, one has to shed one pound of blood. But he's so foolish that he's willing to pay that price. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of when the donkey goes to the she donkey for sex. Maybe we'll see this in India, because many of these illustrations come to life in India, especially when we get to places, village life. Now we're in the big cities, but when we go to village life, like in Vrindavan, you'll see the pigs, you'll see the dogs, you'll see the hogs. And so you may see the male ass go to the she ass for some sex. And inevitably, he gets kicked in the face. Big right in the face. You see how the asses, they have a good kick. So he's coming for some sex, and then from behind, he's getting a good kick in the face. He thinks, that's all right, let me enjoy a few moments of sex. Or sometimes you see in Western countries, the male dog is going after the she-dog, and she's turning and biting and fighting, but he overpowers her, but the result is scratched here and torn here, but he gets his so-called pleasure. Of course, the same principle is also there in human society. Because we see materialistic people are actually, instead of animals on four legs, they're animals on two legs because they're concerned with the same business, eating, sleeping, sex, and fighting. The only credit Prabhupada gives them is that they're sophisticated animals. So the same principle is there within human society. Pumsha striyamituni bhavam tayar mito hridaya ganti moho. Oho viksepta satapta vitayar janasi mohoya mahamameti. That the basic, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this principle, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attracted to his body, to his family members, to his house, to his household paraphernalia. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. This is, I am matter, this is mine. So the more you become attracted to matter, the more disappointed you will be, because matter cannot give you pleasure. We are conscious spirit souls. What pleasure can we get out of some dead energy in the form of matter? Real pleasure lies in the spirit, in the supreme spirit, Krishna. But for this pleasure, one also becomes mad. Therefore, Prabhupada said, even said one time that illicit or licit sex, he said it is all a source of problems. Illicit sex is particularly sinful. But even though Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, in other words, instead of having unrestricted sex, if one has sex within religious marriage, that is allowed. But still, every grihastha knows that for a few moments of pleasure like that, then there's 25 years of very big responsibility. Especially for the woman, she has to bear that big lump in her belly for 9 months. Babies weigh how many pounds they weigh? How many pounds does a baby, kilos does a baby weigh? 700? 7 or 8 pounds. Now, gentlemen, just think, if you had to carry a big lump for 9 months, 7, 8 pounds, it'd be inconvenience. I told the story one time, just to make the husbands sympathetic to their pregnant wives. There was once you know, they have those schools for having babies for the woman to teach her how to have the baby. So they encourage the husband to come along also to learn how the wife will deliver the child. So, you know, it was co-educational. The woman was learning how to breathe during the labor, how to, whatever they do. to deliver the baby. The man was also there, so he would be sympathetic because so much pain is there. The woman has had to undergo so much pain. Sometimes the woman is even leaving her body because the pain is so great. So one way in order to make the husband sympathetic to the condition of the wife is they made the husbands wear a lump of iron or matter that was equivalent to the weight of the child in the womb of the wife. And they had to wear this lump around, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous, but, you know, all right, enough's enough, I don't want to wear. And then, of course, the difficulty of labor and delivering the child. Prabhupada said, every woman is promising, I will never do this again. Interestingly enough, the pain of birth is very similar to the pain of death. Coming into this world or going out of this world, very painful process. This is our first experience of the material world. It's very painful. So the child is coming, and then the small, fragile body of the child has to be protected and cared for in so many ways. It's like a vegetable. It needs, you know, it can't do anything itself. And then gradually it is growing, and then there's childhood diseases. And then there's the finances to send the child to school. And one has to work so hard to maintain. And then there's the teenage years. The anxiety of every mother and father that my child is not, you know, coming out as I expected him or her to be. I have trained him to be a perfect Hiranyakashipu, a perfect enjoyer of gold and women, just like me. And now he has joined this Hare Krishna movement. Or he's leaving Hare Krishna movement to become Hiranyakashipu. We have raised him to the Gurukul system. The day he is graduating, he's going into Maya. So either way you look at it, there's the problem of authority and independence, and then so the motivation was sex. No one would have sex unless it was appearing pleasurable. The Prabhupada said, for this little amount of pleasure, which is the highest pleasure you can find in the material world, illicit or licit, so much difficulty is there. Therefore, the more one can control this desire, the less suffering we will have in the material world. The more one can become freed from this, the more less suffering. Becoming celibate doesn't guarantee, you know, doesn't mean that one will become a transcendentalist. He will go back to Godhead. It simply means that one is more detached from the suffering of material life. In the instructions of Parashara Muni, it is stated that Patanjali, in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, is described that if the brahmachari can remain naishtiki, if he can remain free from sex life, then he's qualified to go to Brahmalok. Of course, it is a very rare individual who can completely control this, so therefore there is Varnashram Dharma, There's various ashrams, grihastha ashram, where one enters into grihastha ashram, where sex is allowed, but in a controlled way. So the burden is reduced. The burden or the complexities are reduced. Of course, for the Vaishnava family, the Grihastha family in Krishna consciousness, they accept the burden of having children as a burden of love, with the hopes that the children will carry on the next generation of Krishna consciousness. But again, the point is that the price that one has to pay for material enjoyment is very high. One has rejected Krishna for the pleasure of material existence, but the pleasure of material existence is very costly. No doubt there is some pleasure, but the price one has to pay is very much. One has to get kicked in the face. So in this way, when we hear about the material existence, while practicing Krishna consciousness, even in the neophyte stage, we realize the superiority of one over the other. Of course, there is one illusion that material life is enjoyable, but another illusion that one has to overcome when one takes the spiritual life is the activities of spiritual life are misery. Just like one initially comes to Krishna consciousness, he comes back to the tattvastha stage. In other words, he's no longer entangled in material life, he's coming to the spiritual life. Then again he comes to this point of tattvastha, or in between the two. Right? So the tattvastha means that he can choose spiritual, he can choose material. So the illusion of material life is that I can be happy here. But for one who is just approaching spiritual life, the misconception may be these activities in spiritual life are too difficult, they're too austere. Sometimes what is required to advance in spiritual life, it is too difficult for the aspiring candidate. Because unless he is fully situated in spiritual life, he may conceive that the giving up sense gratification is simply too much. He hasn't completely lost the desire for sense gratification, neither has he fully tasted the bliss of spiritual life. So he's a bit in a precarious situation. Right? He still has some taste for material activity. And his taste for spiritual activity is just beginning. So he's in a precarious condition. He's back in tattvastha shakti. He's back in that marginal position where he's coming out of material life and he's beginning to enter into spiritual life. He's had enough of material life to be convinced that this is just a hard struggle for material existence. But still, sometimes the material energy appears attractive. He's just entering into spiritual life, but because of his conditioned nature, he cannot perceive Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. He cannot conceive that the holy name is non-different than Krishna. He can't understand, fully appreciate that the deity is non-different than the Lord. He cannot see the Lord within prasadam.
И как только живое существо оставляет материальное, начинает только входить в духовное, то оно из-за своего блаженного состояния еще не может видеть, не может ощущать вкус святого имени Кришны, не может видеть Кришну в Бодхисаттве, не может видеть Кришну в Прасаде.
In other words, his faith, his newfound faith, is weak.
Его вера, как бы, свежая вера, она еще слаба.
He's called Kanishtadhikari. Kanishtadhikari means he has little faith and a little bit of knowledge. So such an aspiring devotee can again be captured by the illusory energy. If someone comes along as a very fast talker, then he can bewilder that devotee into thinking, you know, this is nonsense what you're doing, Hare Krishna. Come back out to material life. Or he may present some other spiritual philosophy, which of course is inferior to Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness probably is the topmost yoga system. But because he has very little knowledge, he may think, oh yes, I will leave Krishna consciousness and become a Christian. With all due respect to the Christians, I mean, how you can compare this ancient Vedic culture with profound philosophy and so many great saints to what, you know, Lord Jesus gave as a religion for the meteors? And that devotee worked intimately with Prabhupada on the Bhakti God Prabhupada's one of his pet projects for so many years, and then he blew it and he became a born again Christian. And he became antagonistic towards the Krishna conscious movement. Even today, at our annual Rath Yatra festival in Los Angeles, he's out there with these big placards, these big signs, you know, repent or burn in hell forever. In front of it, he walks along with the Rath Yatra parade. Repent! Repent! You're worshipping idols, you're going to hell, burn! You know. So the neophyte devotee, his philosophical understanding of Krishna is not very deep, and his faith is yet not very mature. So he can fall from that position. So one has to, as quickly as possible, but through philosophy and through associating with devotees who have faith, come to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. We have to read Prabhupada's books. Because everything that we need to overcome the obstacles of material life and everything we need to be enlightened about Krishna is there in Prabhupada's books. But unfortunately, most devotees don't have a philosophical approach to Krishna consciousness, a philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness. It is more a sentiment or emotion, therefore they sometimes fall into illusion. So, Prabhupada said, because of this philosophical, little understanding of philosophy and little faith, one is vulnerable in the neophyte stage. Madhyama Adhikari means that one's faith is stronger, but a little stronger, and his philosophical understanding is stronger. And Uttama Adhikari means full understanding of the scripture and the ability to present and convince others. And full faith. That's called vijnana, realized knowledge. The result of understanding this philosophy and practicing this philosophy is one gets vijnana, he gets realized knowledge. So, yasya devi tada bhaktir, yata devi tata guru. When he has full faith in the spiritual master in Krishna, the full purport of Vedic knowledge is revealed to such a devotee. Therefore, to protect us, our vulnerable position now, because we're aspiring devotees, we're neophyte devotees, we have to carefully study the philosophy and develop faith. So the philosophy is, it's quite easy, we just have to study Prabhupada's books systematically. And how do we develop more faith in Krishna? The philosophy is not difficult, you can pick up any book and become complete, but where do we go to find that faith? Prabhupada said faith, Krishna conscious faith, is created in association of devotees. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, faith is something which is imbibed or gained from another Vaishnava. By associating with devotees. We gain that faith. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastukoi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Even a moment's association with an advanced devotee of the Lord can take one to complete for perfection. Therefore, Prabhupada has created an international society of devotees, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where one can live in the association of devotees, either in the temple or as a congregation, and by that constant association, gradually gain that faith in Krishna. And that we will be experiencing in a few days, next Monday. We're going to the Mayapur festival. The whole purpose of this festival, Mayapur festival, is to have the association of devotees. Actually, Prabhupada considered the Mayapur festival so important that he did not encourage devotees to travel all over India. Of course, not that he didn't want his disciples and grand disciples to come to these holy places, because it is very educational for us and it also is convincing us of our Vedic heritage. But rather, he wanted to emphasize the supreme importance of Vaishnava Sangha. When we go to Mayapur, there will be 3,000 or 4,000 Vaishnavas. And we will be hearing discourses by many saints and sages. This is the essentially what we do in Chuna Mayapur, as we hear and chant. If you think about it, what we're going to do, the main thing is we will sit and we'll hear from our senior sannyasis and GBC men. And we will go to holy places and hear about those holy places from these devotees. And most important, we will engage in mass harinam, mass chanting of the holy names of their association. So Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shanga Panga Shiparshidam Yagnai Sankitan Praya Jantihi Sumedasaha. At this process of chanting God's name in the association of devotees, this is the religious principle for the sage. This is what will uplift us out of material life into the kingdom of God, into the spiritual world. It long as one situates himself within the sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, he's protected in his vulnerable position. He's protected from the illusory energy. The proof is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, who was approached by Maya herself in the form of a prostitute. And she made feminine poses that would bewilder even the mind of Brahma, who's very equiposed. But he simply said, yes, all right, in a few minutes we will enjoy, but I have to finish my vrat. I have promised Śrīla Gurudev 16 rounds. Actually, he took about 300,000 names a day. So when I finish my vrata, then of course I will satisfy you. So he just was chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And the result was, because she heard the chanting from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord, Mayadeva, instead of converting him to sensualism, he converted her to Vaishnavism. So you can say, well, that's Haridas Thakur. I'm not Haridas Thakur. I'm more like junior Haridas. I'm chanting and looking at the pretty women. Or the handsome boys. Burning the candle at both ends, as they say. This is what my heart is actually made of. What is my hope for chanting Hare Krishna and not getting influenced by the material? No, I'm not Haridas Thakur. How does this story, this pastime, apply to me? But he's Haridas, Namacharya Haridas Thakur. Acharya means one who teaches by example. Actually, Haridas Thakur doesn't have to chant Hare Krishna. He doesn't have to chant a fixed number of rounds because he's a liberated devotee. Only devotees who are not liberated, who are still in the conditioned life, they have to follow the regulative principles of devotional service. A healthy man doesn't have to follow the prescription, you know, of medicine on the label, which is given to someone else who's sick. It's not, oh, he's following, so I also have to follow that medicine. Why do you have to take the medicine? He's healthy. Why does a healthy man have to follow the rules and regulations that a sick man has to follow? He doesn't. He's healthy. So why does a liberated soul like Haridas Thakur have to follow all the rules and regulations of devotional service and chant a specific number of rounds? Why? Because he's acharya. He's teaching by example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Haridas Thakur. Some people preach, but they don't follow. Some people follow, but they don't preach. But you agree with the three rules because you perfectly follow and you preach. He's a child. He's showing us by example how we can remain freed from the influence of the inferior energy. Alone, what we can do. But by the grace of Krishna, anything can be done. Just like alone, how you can fly from Madras to London. Right? What you can do? Flap your arms, jump up and down, run as fast as you can along the Tamarack. Nothing, he's still there on the ground, the fool. But if you take shelter of a powerful machine like an airplane, a 747, then you just sit back, you watch the Charlie Chaplin movie, you laugh, take some oranges with your Guru Maharaj, and you're there in Vaikuntha in no time. So much effort in this material world, but when Prabhupada takes us back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. So we do not depend upon ourselves, we depend upon the mercy of Krishna. As we said the other day, Krishna says in Gita, I am the swift deliverer, the quick deliverer of my devotee from the ocean of birth and death. Literally, Krishna comes riding on Garuda. He's Shri Gurudev Ki. He comes down on Garuda. He's riding on the back of Garuda, and with his, he extends his hand to his devotee, and he pulls him out of the ocean of birth and death, puts him on the back of this great eagle, and Vaikuntha in no time. So it can be taken literally. Krishna can come on Garuda. Why not? He's come. He's taken devotees. There's so many pastimes in Shastra. He comes on Garuda, picks the devotee up, takes him. Or you can take it figuratively that he comes in the form of Guru. He comes in the form of his instructions. And by accepting the process of devotional service, which is not different than the Lord, one can free himself from the ocean of birth and death. So in this age, the Lord is most approachable. The easiest way to take shelter of the Lord is in the form of His name. And the sincere chanter of the holy name, he can experience the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the strength of the Lord in his chanting. And one who practices this process of devotional service, of chanting the holy name, very quickly his attraction to the material world decreases and his attraction for the Lord increases. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kirtani Yad Sadahari, that the aspiring devotee should be chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada translates Kirtani Yad Sadahari, he says, it actually means all the time, constantly, but he says 24 hours a day. So chanting can take different forms. Chanting can be bhajan, or chanting can be kirtan, or chanting can be prachar. It can be preaching. This is preaching, this is also kirtan, this is also glorifying the Lord. Anything which extols the glories of Krishna, that is kirtan. And we can practically see that on our tour here in India, the most enlightening moments, the most enlivening moments out of all the different experiences that we are having are when we're having kirtan. Right? The whole atmosphere becomes surcharged, it becomes Vaikuntha. So this is the most effective process. So these are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sri Sanatana Goswami. He's revealing the illusion of material life and the reality of spiritual life for Krishna consciousness gradually to Sri Sanatana Goswami. So tomorrow and the next few days, also in Mayapur, we'll continue hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And now, because we're with this Vaikuntha deity, what is the name for that? Vaikuntha Nath? The deity is called Vaikuntha Nath. All right. So because we are with this wonderful Vaikuntha deity, Vaikuntha Parama Shanti, we will please the Lord by creating that Vaikuntha atmosphere by being His humble servants, by chanting His holy name. This deity appeared here 1,400 years ago. He has been offering his wonderful darshan for so many bhaktas for 1,400 years. So I'm sure that he will be pleased that we are bringing this process of Krishna consciousness, this chanting of the holy name as he has prescribed in this age, in this form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this international society of devotees is visiting his temple perhaps for the first time, Russian, Polish, English, American, New Zealand, Australian devotees. It must be giving the Lord great pleasure. So let us enter into this Vaikuntha atmosphere by asking Sri Prahlad to take us into the temple there, squeeze in as far as we can, and glorify this wonderful Vaikuntha deity, 1,400 years old, through the chanting of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vaikuntha Purumal Shanti Maharaj Ki, Shri Prabhu Bhara Ki, Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki, Shri Chaitanya Chaitanya Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hare Hare.